What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
The blessing can cause you to transact with the trumps of this world. It can cause you to transact with the Jeff Bezos of this world. You know, some people are quiet. You don't even know the names I'm calling. Who are the leading people in your industry? The blessing puts you in a league with them. Somebody said, those things are not important. Hear me. The kingdom of God needs great men. We need men of what? Influence. Recently, I was talking to somebody and I told the person, I said, look, I made up my mind to be very rich, very great, and very influential. You know why? There is little you can do with poverty. Scripture says it in very clear terms. The rich ruled over the poor in Africa, in Europe, everywhere. So I sat down and I began to think, I cannot be blessed and then live average. Can I go further? I cannot even be blessed and not make impact. Because there's a lot entrusted to my care by virtue of the anointing and the blessing of God upon my life. So I have to think outside Boko. I have to think outside Boko. I have to think outside Benue. I have to see myself as a global solution. So I have to see myself as a great man. Genesis 12:2. No, I need to drive this in. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. I will make you a great nation. CFC, say amen to that.
Amen.
See, deep seated in the heart of man is a desire to live a life that transcends eating food and wearing clothes. When you begin to think about the blessing, deep seated in the heart of every man. See, if all you want to do in life is eat food and wear clothes, you are not different from an animal. Because that's basically what animals do. They scavenge. If they can eat, are you with me? And they have a place to sleep. Those are the two basic needs of animals. To eat and have what? And shelter and safety. But you know, one of the things that the devil has said to the church, the moment you want to break the circle of just eating food, living in a house, hello, and having clothes to wear, the devil terms it covetousness. That's not covetousness. See, whatever we make Moses leave the comfort of being a shepherd in pursuit, risking all, are you getting me, to go and bring a nation out of another nation, I'm telling you, it's more than eating food. It is a desire, it's greatness calling out to him. I know this message is resonating with some people. I want the desire for greatness to be awakened in you.
Amen.
Why did Jesus choose the cross? There was something deeper in him than eating. At least for no reason, he knows how to feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread. So he has mastered that art. Wait, did you ever hear that food was a problem to Jesus? But did you ever know that he was hungry? So listen to me. Your problem is more than food and clothing. The moment a man finds himself in a place where he is trapped, are you getting me? And he can't give expression to things on the inside, it leads to frustration. I am born great. I am born for impact. I am born to transform lives. Some of you walk through the streets of Boko and something begins to cry on the inside of you. You look at the educational system and something in you is saying, look, something can change. Do I have a weakness here? How many of you look at society and say, wait, why are things like this? One time I was talking with Minister Maninge and we're just having conversation and I was telling them, I said, look, I look at Nigeria and something tells me it can change. No, something tells me it can change. Can I speak to all of you? Where I am in my life right now, I'm not suffering. And listen to me. Even if I don't do anything in my life again, it can't be worse than this. But is that all? Jesus said in the book of Matthew chapter 6, he said, don't worry about what to eat, what to wear. Glory to God. He says, after these things, the Gentiles seek. He said, but your life is worth more than that. That means the value of a man's life is more than just thinking about what to eat and what to wear and where to live. That if you look at what God calls life, it's for a larger purpose. He said, are you not worth more than these things? He said, but you, there is something to pursue. There is a purpose. There is a life to pursue. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Then all these other things, all these small things, that means the things that look big right now, if you go into God's agenda for your life, they are small things. And what I want you to know is that if you pursue greatness, basic needs will be the least of your issues. The day I discovered this, I was set free. That there is a bigger cause for my life, a bigger reason I'm here. We are shaking our world. Oh, am I talking to somebody? We are making global impact. Some of you, before the end of next year, in the next 3-4 years, are you getting me? You will be frontliners in major sectors making things happen. You can't even influence things you've not started having conversations about. It's when they came to Nehemiah and they were asking Nehemiah, what is happening in Jerusalem? And they began to speak of the ruins. How many of you know, it's from those conversations. It's from the conversations that they were having that something woke up in who? In Nehemiah. Do you know, the moment that thing woke up, doors began to open. The king's heart was open to him. The people were ready. That means those things were there, but they were waiting for a wake-up call. See, Nehemiah was comfortable. He was the chief of staff in the palace of the greatest ruler of his day. So he was doing well. Feeding was not his problem. But as they were having those conversations, something happened in him. Life is more than this. You will arise from here this morning with a bigger picture, a bigger purpose to live life. Because you only truly start living when you have discovered why you are here. See, God uses poor people. Paul said, look at your call, knowing that not many who are noble are called. He didn't say noble people are not called. He said it's not many of them that are called. Have you noticed that in the book of Acts, anytime the gospel wants to break into certain circles, do you know the Spirit of God will consciously direct the apostles to target men of influence? When Paul preached to the proconsul, didn't the gospel enter there? See, some of you want to take over. We are taking over cities. Amen. But before taking over those cities, guess the people that God will bring you into. He will bring you into circles with governors and commissioners and certain people. Because the moment the gospel enters into some of those places, are you hearing what I'm saying? It will not be a struggle. If a governor gets born again, becomes a member of your church, let me see how some of his DGs will not come. And let nobody despise you because of your age. Wisdom was sought from the lips of Joseph at the age of 30. See, what I'm saying is that you were born for something bigger than this. Say, that's me. You know, in those days, if you begin to talk about great things in church, you know what they will tell you? They say, be careful. Be careful. Now, eyes have opened. We're not telling men to be careful. We need you to open your heart. Go to Matthew. Let me show you. I believe you are getting my message. Matthew chapter 12, verse 37. I'm not talking to secondary. You know, when I was looking at face-to-face singing, I looked at them, I said, these people can change the world. I was driving their car the other day, I said, Wifi, we're listening to his music. I said, you can take the world. You can take the world. I said, you can build schools. Oh, thank you, Lord. The Bible says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Continue. Then some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, say, teacher, we want to see a sign from you. Hear what Jesus said. But he answered and said to them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks after a sign, and no sign will be given to it except, look at. He said, no sign will be given to it except what? The sign of the prophet Jonah. Continue. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and indeed a greater than Jonah is here. Continue. He says, the queen of the south, not the series, amen. The queen of the south will rise up in the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and indeed a greater than Solomon is here. Notice two signs. That means two signs is going to characterize the gospel that we preach. The first sign is the message of the finished work of Jesus. Is that if we are going to take over the world, then we must hold tenaciously that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose again. Amen. Did you get it? The second sign is that we will begin to see great people coming to our wisdom. Because he spoke about the queen of the south. That means when we begin to see, one of the things that will characterize this end time church is that we will see the billionaires and millionaires of this generation coming to the church. Am I talking to somebody? In search of our wisdom. That is the sign given to this generation. And let me add, as they come, even from among us, our nobles will spring forth. So there are some of you seated here that need to be class reps. And from course reps, you become departmental heads. And from departmental head, you become SUG president. And from SUG president, you are going to be national president of associations. And then you are going to get into the Senate. And then you are going to find your way into that house. Joseph didn't just appear in Pharaoh's house. He was first in Potiphar's house. And he learned administration in prison. Because the Bible tells us that the prison warden left him in charge of all the other prisoners. Do you know what it means to be left with prisoners? Unruly. Have you ever seen prisoners? Unruly people from different crimes. They say you are in charge of them and you have to control them. And guess what? They had respect for him. If you can control prisoners, you can control same men. So if you look at Joseph's life, don't just say, Joseph just came and interpreted Pharaoh's dream. Bah! He became prime minister. No! There was a process. Some of you enter into that process. Am I talking to somebody? Some of you are in the process right now. But you see, where you are passing is a step to a bigger picture. Because there's the blessing of God where? So I was born great. Somebody said, what is greatness? You know what greatness is? Somebody said, greatness is relative. It's a lie. Greatness is not relative. Are you understanding the English I'm speaking? Greatness is not relative. Greatness is not relative. Greatness is known in every tribe, culture, and community. Greatness is when you have a larger than life status. So when God said to Abraham, I will make your name great, he said, look, I will make you larger than life. I love something a man of God said recently, you know, at camp meeting. He said that if you look at Abraham, undeniably the three major religions of the world today claim their ancestry from him. Christianity, Islam, are you getting me? And Judaism. They trace their lineage to who? To Abraham. That's greatness. Greatness is when you write a song that becomes hymns 400 years from now. Greatness is when even in death, people will speak of you like you are alive. Tell anybody, enlarge your vision. So what are the limitations of men? Why are we not seeing plenty great people? It's because in all of God's ability to do, he can be limited by the size of a man's vision. You see, God can be willing to do many things, but if you can't see past a particular place, he can't do more than that. Vision frustrates ability. I heard of a particular golfer who was invited by one of the Arab sheikhs to come and play golf with him for the weekend. Those sheikhs, there's a way they think. It's like I'm talking about some people's head here. I know I'm not. Some people get it. There's wealth in this world. No, this local. So the sheikh invited this golfer to come and play golf with him. So he played golf with him for the whole weekend. So when he was leaving, he took photographs and then he asked the golfer to autograph it for him. Let me explain the language some of us understand. It's like saying you like Messi. How many of you like Messi? you really like him. You get me? You like Mercy, so you build a five-a-side pitch behind your house and invite Mercy to come and play football with you for the weekend. You get the picture. Now, you know, number one, for Mercy to come and play, to agree, to come and play with you, there must be a language that both of you speak that will allow him to come. You can't say because you are the MD of BCC, you go and build a place behind your house and ask for Mercy to come. That means there must be a frequency, both of you. There must be a frequency that you're operating at, that when you say Mercy come, Mercy will be willing to come. So for this golfer to even agree and go and meet this sheikh, that means they are speaking, they speak their language. And listen, if you look at life, men connect along the lines of frequency. Don't make a mistake. So they signed the autograph. So when he was leaving, he asked the golfer that what would the golfer want him to do for him? So the golfer just turned and said, to be here all this weekend and to play golf with you has been a huge privilege and honor. You know, look at your kingdom and all that. So I don't want anything. He said, no, I'd like to give you something. Just like, what would you want me to do for you as a sheikh? You know what he said? He said, okay, maybe just get me customized golf kit with your name on it. So at least he can hang it in his living room that this is the golf kit that the sheikh sent to me. He went back to US. Guess what? 3 weeks later, he got a mail to come and receive his golf kit. When he went and picked the golf kit, this is not GoCom stories, true life story. The man sent the golf kit, but it was solid gold. Solid wara wara. Are you getting me? Solid gold. When he picked it, you see, I want you to see how he thinks. The sheikh was disappointed that I want to do something for you, but this is all you have asked me to do. But even in that small thing, it will come to you as gold. See, if you enter the mind of God and you discover the things God wants to do with people's lives, you will discover how heaven is frustrated at the small pictures that you carry. That's why one of the things heaven wants to do, first of all, is to break the existing mindset. Because our existing mindset is limiting the plans that God has for you. Tell anybody, enlarge your vision for life. Can I ask you? Imagine every time you appear at the throne of grace, before this great God, your greatest problem is food. Every time you appear before the throne of grace, like we were taught yesterday, your greatest problem is what? Is Indomie. What do I eat? I know somebody's waking up. If God shows up in this church right now and says, you come, what do you want me to do for you? You'll be amazed. The answers we'll hear in this church. I'm God. I said, what do you want me to do for you? He wants the world for Jesus. You are truly hearing my message. Go and sit down. Amen. Is that what you prayed for this morning before you came to church? When you were kneeling down and praying, did you say, I want the world for you? No, but that's good. I'm not talking about a church thing now. See, if you come for the gathering year after year, faith adventure year after year, when you go back home, it is the size of vision that you carry that you are going to experience. See, when people come to church and they say, look, this year is going to be an awesome year for you, and God has propelled you into new levels of victory, your eyes will be open to see. Do you know what you are seeing at the instant when that word is coming is what you are going to experience when you go home? Because for some, when they say God is propelling you into new levels of victory, other people will see themselves standing in front of Dangote cutting deals. Others, through that same word, will see themselves having children's school fees to pay. When they are coming the next December, you know the testimonies they'll be sharing. I'm grateful to God that this year I didn't have school fee problem. The other person will be sharing testimony of how this year, supernaturally, by the mighty hand of God, I met Dangote for the first time and we have something in the pipeline. You will soon see it. You see, God works with the pictures that we carry. Ephesians chapter 3. Be an extraordinary housewife. Be an extraordinary banker. Be an extraordinary student. Greatness is a character you don't develop when you have sat on a seat. It brings you to a seat. It brings you to a seat. Position is not greatness. Greatness brings positions. You know why? Seats are looking for great people. Don't we have the office of Amen. We have offices in this country looking for greatness. Verse 20. Now, to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us. What is this power that works in us? It's the power of God's love at work in us. You know that God loves you. You've received this. The Bible says, now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ever ask or think. That means that power works commensurate with your ability to ask. And how we ask is based on how we think. Bobby Phillips told us a story at ABC. That every time I think about it, I say, Kai, that can never be our portion in Jesus' name. He said that one of his colleagues in the Air Force had the opportunity of meeting with Babangida. And when he met with Babangida, he said, what do you want? Babangida said, what do you want me to do for you? Some of those men, you can't meet them twice in a lifetime. He said, what do you want me to do for you? He said, I want a particular posting. Babangida said, that posting is closed. So in what other way can I help you? And guess what? The guy was blank. He said, in what other way can I help you? He said, the guy just sat there. He said, okay, Babangida said, now you can now go. He said, okay, no problem. Go and think about it and get back to me. He never saw him again. And they were telling him that you met that man. He asked you, what do you want me to do for you? And you didn't have options. You know why he didn't have options? That's when a mind is narrow, small, and fixated. Narrow-mindedness is the reason a lot of people struggle, not because God's ability is not present. I know why I'm teaching this thing. Because the year 2020 is the year of heaven's due. It's the year of opportunities. If you don't develop the character of greatness, you will remain in the same place while opportunities are passing by. That means you need to have a willing and ready heart so that when God brings the opportunity, are you getting into, you will slip into it. I told you yesterday that you will have opportunities that you don't even have anything. You have no clue how to handle them. Don't say, I don't know what to do. Say, give me what? 3 days. Listen. Is the same thing that Joseph did that his brothers were beating him. Is the same thing that brought him to the throne. I told you during Covenant World Seminar. How many of you remember? Is this interpreting dreams that took Joseph where? To the throne. Don't despise it. Some other people have said, I will not dream again. Is a dream that he interpreted for his brothers that they beat him. Is the same dream he interpreted for Pharaoh that put him on the throne. Get ready. Hallelujah. It's not what you are doing, Kai. That's why I say it's not what you are doing that is limiting you. Amen. There is a platform to do the same thing you are still doing. Yes, that we announce what you are doing. Hallelujah. And I'm telling you, get ready. Hallelujah. Amen. Because what is happening is that what you have done on smaller scale, what you have done in little scale, God will take that same thing and announce you on bigger platforms. Amen. He interpreted dreams. He interpreted his own dream to his brothers. They were angry. He interpreted dreams in the prison. He was forgotten. But he interpreted a dream in a prison. Am I talking to someone? To a president in a palace. And things changed. Get ready for palace moments. So it's not exactly what you are doing that is wrong. It's not what you are doing that is limiting you. It's that there are necessary platforms to do what you are doing. But you must develop the character of greatness, so that by the time you are appearing in those places, you will not chicken out. Amen. Vision. You cannot appear before a king you have not seen yourself before. Oh, I remember the first time I entered a plane. And I'm going to come to that before the end of this meeting. Because you must appreciate the sovereignty of God, but at the same time, you must understand the instrumentality of relationships. That God will do amazing things in your life, but you must understand that it's connected to people. If not for Reverend Aaron Meada was the person that put me in a plane for the first time. Somebody will put you somewhere for the first time. No, I bought the ticket. He said, look, just get your ticket. We're going to go. When we're entering the plane, as we're going, he said, I turned to him. I said, sir, this is my first time entering a plane. He didn't even think. He said, there are many people entering for the first time. So it's not written on their forehead. Just enter. So I just discovered that it's how you enter that betrays you, whether it's your first time or not. It's not like it's written on your head that it's your first time. The first time I went to Transcor Hilton. I've been hearing of Transcor Hilton. Even Saki Braz even sang about it in song. Some of you don't know him. Right inside Abuja. And I've been staying in all these other hotels. And for the first time I was invited, they say, you are staying at the Hilton. I say, where? They say, Hilton. I've been speaking these things. But when I came there, as this car parked in front of the reception, I was almost going to take my box from inside the boot. That's why I say you need. I was going to go into the boot and grab my box. I'm used to grabbing my box. That's not humility. As I was coming, you know those guys that stay in front of Hilton, especially in festive time, they wear agbada. If you see them, you think they're the owners of the hotel because the way they are dressed. So when I saw those, I thought they were lodging there. One was standing here, the other one was standing at the other end. As I was going, he just walked up to me and said, sir, you're welcome. You will not need to do that. I'll help you with your box. I said, eh. When I looked into his eyes, I knew that he knew that this is my first time here. But don't be ashamed of your first moment. Be comfortable with greatness. I didn't say, no, don't carry the box. Why are you carrying? I'm already here now. Carry the thing. I went. Do you understand? My first night there, I hardly slept too. I will go here. You know, I was in a place of bliss. Everything was working for the first time. I'm not talking about these hotels that when you enter, they still give you bucket. Are you getting me? They shower and bucket. That's not what I'm talking about. I keep wondering in Nigeria why you will give somebody, there is a shower, but there's still a bucket. And a bowl, just in case. Some even give candles. You are delivered from such hotels in the name of Jesus. Oh. Eh? And no van. Someone say, Pastor, why are you teaching us these things? You know why? Some people you need to meet, there are places that you will never meet them. God will need to put you in environments where you can come in contact with such people. God is planting you in environments. Are you getting me? God is planting you in environments. In places. You see, if you keep begging, I don't know, I keep talking to you. If you keep begging in Boko, nothing will change. God will need to lift you into new levels of influence where you find yourself in certain places. There are certain thresholds that if you do business, there's no way anybody will pay you more than 15,000 for the same cake that somebody will be willing to pay you 500,000. This is where the blessing of God comes to work. It is the blessing of God that takes you from that place where you are doing the same thing you are doing and lifting you up to higher levels. That is why when your dreams become big, you discover that it's easier to do bigger things. And I'm saying the only thing that is reducing you from moving from that place to the next level is because in your heart, you've not moved. You see a pastor who has never thought of world evangelism. And he says he wants the church to grow. Even when he's talking, the members can perceive fear, faint-heartedness. It's the members that want to stretch. It's the pastor that is calling them back. Are you getting me? Be careful. Cut your coat according to your size. Cut your coat according to the material. The limitations of life exist in the mind. How many of you can see beyond where you are? I love one picture you took. I still have it in my phone. The day I saw it, I said, I love Jethro. Of course, and you know I love you. This one is not stage. Amen. He sat, I don't know whether that's your CG's seat or something, that you were standing in front of it. The controller's office, he stood there and made them take a picture of him. That time he was just entering, you know, he was just entering custom. He stood there and they took a picture of him. And he sent it to me or he posted it or something like that. But I know I copied it. And you see the way he stood there is not this kind of quick. No. The way he put his hand there, you will know that he has sat there in his mind. See, there are places that many of us have traveled to that we have not arrived. President Bill Clinton visited Ronald Reagan, and as a student, they just took them into the White House. Do you know? JF Kennedy, thank you. He visited JF Kennedy. As they were leaving, he asked to stand behind the seat of the president. And they said, yeah, you can stand. And he stood there and said they should take a picture of him. He said from that day, he knew that he was going to come and stand behind that seat. Do you know how life works? The moment there's a vision, there's provision. The moment you can begin to conceptualize and you begin to see it, you'll be amazed where the resources will begin to come from. They are all waiting for you. Provision does not come to beggars. It comes to people with vision. Have you ever noticed? Nobody gives you gifts until you're about to wed. Who has money to be spending on your dating behavior? The moment you want to marry, are you getting me? Resources will begin to come. Those of you who were there recently, is he a lie? When you're busy dating a girl, where they say, how are you going? How is the courtship going? You say, it's fine. Okay, here is some money. Eh? Take it. Who has time to be spending on your... Some of you, that's what you're doing. Like, you're just dating ideas. Are you getting me? I wish I can be a seamstress. I wish the day you set a particular picture in your mind. You see all this, nobody wants to help me. Nobody wants to help me. It's not that nobody wants to help you. They don't see why they should help you. So stop chasing people and start pursuing vision. Let me say two more things. Somebody bless this woman. I'm blessed. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 13. One little boy came from one of our churches during Faith Adventure. He said, look at me. I wanted to play keyboard. They say that this church, we are all the same, this thing, and I'm a good drummer, but because I'm a small boy, anytime I climb the drum, they will pursue me. So he was coming to report to me. He said, because I look small, but they don't know that I'm very good. So I said, no problem, I will talk to them. I never did. I actually forgot. You know why? That's not how life operates. So when I saw him 2 days later before the program ended, I said, when you go back to your center, whether they pursued you this year, play drums until a point in time that the day they see you play, they will invite you to come and play. Nobody will pursue you. You know why? Are you getting me? Talents don't look for platforms. Platforms are looking for talents. That's why you should never be bitter that I went there, they didn't recognize me. Don't worry. Develop where you are. Platforms will look for you. Konemoyo said something. I said, I've never seen it in that light. He said, look, you must develop capacity for greatness. That's what Joseph did. Do you know when Joseph had a dream? Are you still here? I'm rounding up. I have one more scripture. Then I run up. Do you know when Joseph had a dream? He just called his father and his brothers. He called his brothers first. I had a dream. He said, what is the dream? You know, like Martin Luther King. I have a dream. He said, what's the dream? We were in the farm. And on that farm, you know, we were gathering sheaves. Then my own stood up. Your own. Bow to my own. They said, then what? He said, that's what I saw now. They were angry. They told the father. The father said, I beg, it's not just a dream. Allow the boy. Then he slept again and had another dream. He said, after morning devotion, he said, excuse me, I have a dream. You again. They said, what's the dream this time? And this time there were 12 stars, 11 stars. My own was in the middle. And then the 11 stars now just surrounded my own. The brother said, wait, are you saying we are going to... Then he said, I've not even finished. I saw the moon too, and the sun. They were inside the stars, gathering around me. The father said, Joseph, idiot, come. They said, what next? No, nothing more. Do you know, that was the level he was operating at. They hated him. His brother sold him. But he didn't stop at that. When he found himself in prison, and those two men came from the prison, the baker and the butler, do you know they had dreams? They told Joseph, but this time he has upgraded. He's not just telling dreams again. He said, what is a dream? They told him. He said, this is the meaning of your dream. Do you know, if he had upgraded his dream-telling talent, when he dreamt that he was standing in the middle, are you getting me? And his brothers were surrounding him. Do you know nobody would have been offended if he understood that from Judah will come the lion of the tribe of Judah? But in the moment of time, he was going to be the savior that will pull them out of famine. If he had interpreted it that way, are you getting me? He would have been perceived as a savior, not as a king. But he didn't have interpretation, because the meaning of that dream did not mean they will not shine. It didn't mean the brothers will not shine. It only meant that Joseph's specific assignment was to act as a redeemer and savior for his brothers. But he didn't know better, because it was from Judah that Jesus came, the lion of the tribe of Judah, that Jesus in his resurrected state will be sitting as a conquering lion. If he had told Judah that, Judah, for you, when I saw your own star, you were what? You were the conquering lion of Judah. Do you know Judah would have been offended? He'd say, wow, that's good. You're a good boy. You know how to dream, right?
That's a good dream.
You know how to dream. Dream again. Are you getting me? And let me know what's coming up. But for you to just dream and say, my own star. You say your own star. He told the butler, you will be restored. Baker, your own, you'll be killed. The baker said, what will happen? He said, I don't know. See, that's the level he could interpret dreams. But when he stood in front of Pharaoh, he interpreted the dream. But now the man has fully upgraded. He interpreted the dream and gave the solution. He said, and this is what Pharaoh must do. The moment he said it, Pharaoh said, wait, from whence can we get this? Can we find such a man in whom is the spirit of the gods? They didn't look at his age. They didn't look at the people who had come before. He had a solution. If Joseph came there and just said, this is the meaning of your dream, the fat cow mean that they are going to have great abundance, and the lean cow mean that famine is going to come, then Pharaoh say, what next? He said, I don't know. That's just my own, is just to be interpreting. They would have forgotten him again for another 15 years. Are you getting me? Develop capacity. You see, it's vision. When you see somebody pursuing something and developing himself, there's something the person is seeing. Develop capacity for what? For greatness. Have a vision. If you need a master's degree to enter that place, go get it. Finally, Genesis 13 verse 10. It's not what you are doing, no. It's the vision you have concerning those things. Some of you say you have started a company. You have one staff. The way you are talking to that staff, and you are trusting God to have a conglomerate. You have only one staff. You can't manage that one staff. But you want God to bring you, you want God to give you 200 staff, 1,000 staff. Start where you are. If you need to go and take leadership courses to know how to manage that one staff, are you getting me? You are building for something. There's something you are seeing. You say, I beg. Because you work for me, you think I talk to me now. God always bring people. Go. I was telling them in Cote d'Ivoire. I said, it's not every time that a subordinate, you think a subordinate is useless. There is wisdom hidden in the people that are under you, that only them can unveil that this thing to you. So if you don't treat them with respect and value, you will not draw the solution from them. Esther was queen. Who was still advising her? Mordecai. It was Mordecai that helped Esther to enter this office. When she sat there, she didn't, you know, some of you, when you enter position and you forget the man that prayed for you, you forget the uncle that advised you, you forget the mother that taught you. He's saying you don't know what it means to be an honorable. Don't worry. When you leave that honorable position, you will come back to some of these people. It was Mordecai who prepared Esther. Yes. And said, Esther, when you go there, don't do like the other girls are doing. Oh, do exactly as the people tell you. As the eunuch tells you. Esther was so obedient. Other ladies were going to see the king. He was not delighted. You know the king, you come and see him. If he likes you. If he doesn't like you, he'll still reward you. But the aim is not for reward. It's not for gain. It's for influence. Some of you have met great people. You did not choose influence. You chose reward. God gave Esther influence. Do you know that she was still listening to Mordecai? Mordecai was still a palace staff when she was queen. But Mordecai even had to send and say, look, this is how you are going to do it. He said, uncle, pray for me. Tell the whole Israel to pray for me. I will go. If I perish, I perish. I was born for such a time as this. It was Mordecai's wisdom that helped Esther to annihilate the likes of Haman. The Hamans of this generation, we have Esther's to handle them. And Mordecai's to handle them. Go through the process of preparation like Esther went, like every other girl. Don't say, I don't need this. Some of you are believing God that you'll be the next head of service in Nigeria, and you're not in civil service. You know some Christians have to enter civil service and sit inside that boring place. While they're eating granola, you'll be reading books and your Bible until you become a director. Then they will promote you. Don't sit there and say, I don't even know what is happening in this civil service. As we met it, that is how we are doing it. You can, if you do it as you met it, you will not go anywhere. If you want to take over the judiciary, some of you here have to leave private practice and enter into government and become judges. In this my lifetime from CFC, I will have Supreme Court judges.
Amen.
I will have Chief of Air Staff.
Amen.
I will have Chief of... See?
Amen.
I'm raising chiefs here, not ordinary men. They are industry players in this place.
Amen.
Someone said, this in your teaching, is it true? Even Jesus, do you know the kind of people that were in his team? Mary, the wife of Chusa, who was serving in Herod's palace, was working with Jesus. Last year, I started making some prayer. No, this year, 2019, I've already entered. Amen. I started making some prayers. I said, Lord, I receive rich, famous, and influential people. I sat down and started noticing I've squandered opportunity. I said, God, bring it again. Trust me, bring it again. I will wire it. How I met the deputy speaker of the parliament in Zambia, I didn't do anything. I only had lunch. Do you know what it means? I was talking with a sister the other day. She said, we're having a conversation after prayer in Pastor Steve's house. She said, do you know, Pastor, you know, when I got my visa, I was talking with the ambassador, and she was saying that the reason they don't like giving Schengen visa is because people don't like to. As I was hearing it, God said, what are you waiting for? You have somebody in your church who is standing next to you who knows the ambassador that gives Schengen visa. Arome, what are you waiting for? I said, as she finished that line of conversation, I said, hey, so you will take me to the ambassador and tell her to give me your pastor. You know, all the places I've gone, I've come back. You will tell her to give me that Schengen visa. Some of you don't know what Schengen visas are. When you get it, you can enter 19 European countries. 19 or 20? 22? 27? I'll go and do Sweden Believers Convention. I'll go and be holding Believers Convention in these places. I have seen myself there. This year, someone will say, Pastor, we will follow you to Abidjan. But they are not willing to stretch. Greatness does not come at comfort. If you see people in great places, are you getting me? It's great stretch. You must be willing to come out of your comfort zone. Like if you say, I'm getting here, you will enter there. Father, we give you praise. When we read profiles of successful people, people like to buy books about successful people. And it's good. I've read, in fact, can I advise you? Every year, at least read two autobiographies. At least two. That's, you don't like reading. You don't like reading. Read. If you're an architect, look for an autobiography of one of the greatest architects and do what? And read. I read the biographies of pastors. Amen. This year I read about the life of Rick Warren. So read. Me, I'm a pastor, so I know who I read. If you're an engineer, there are people you can read about them and learn something. But I discovered that the Bible is full of biographies of ordinary men that have been turned to extraordinary men. If you take time and study their lives, you will see pathways. You know, the thing is like a tap in me. Christians, recently I was asking, I was talking to someone in Abuja. I said, what will it take for the future governor of Benue State to hear me when I'm talking? Because I know that God has ordained wisdom in these lips of mine for nations. I won't play local league all my life. I said we'll talk more in the evening. Father, we give you praise. Lift your hands and give God praise this morning. Enlarge your vision for life. Enlarge your vision for life. I'm just going to give you 1 minute and begin to pray. Enlarge your vision for life. Look at where you currently are and say, is this all? I'm not saying you're going to do something else. Where you are, is this all you can see? Actually, say, is this all I can see about me? I'm not talking about what's happening around you now. I'm talking about what's happening on the inside of you. Is this all I can see? Father, we give you praise. In Jesus' name. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. For bigger dreams. Bigger dreams. Visions that excite heaven. Projects that excite heaven. Is what I pray for you this year. It's not what you can do. It's about what you can do. But it's about what you can see. For as far as your eyes can see, the Lord is giving to you. You will arise from this place and go back with bigger visions, bigger dreams. The Lord enlarge your coast and make you 1,000 times greater. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard, and we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.